Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, if that sounds familiar, I'm just going to preach the message I preached last Sunday. If you're a father and you weren't here last Sunday, we do still have a few gifts on the table at the back if you want to pick one of those up and take them home with you today. Over the last several years, in particular, maybe the last 5 or 6 years, pastors and churches have tried all kinds of different things to get people to come to church. I guess church attendance has been waning a little bit, so they've tried. We've tried different things. They try. Some have tried two different styles of worship. They have a contemporary worship service, and then they'll have a traditional worship service. And some have tried lots of singing and praise bands and praise groups, you know, to lead the music, and some have lots of technical things. Well, I'm out when it comes to that, but you know, they have. There's even one or two churches that just broadcast their message over a big giant screen, a lot bigger than what we've got. I even heard of one church that put in theater seating and they served popcorn and drinks during the service so that it would be like going to the movies. I wondered, when I thought about all that, I wondered if in all of the activity, I'm not sure what you'd call it, in all of that effort, I wonder if sometimes people miss the message. Or maybe even more particularly, the church fails to deliver the message. People are entertained and people are impressed by the service, maybe on some occasions, but kind of missed the whole point of it. Acts chapter 4, verses 10 and 12 says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is the message, only Jesus saves." Amen. Now, I know over the last 20 years you've heard that multiple times. For as long as I'm here, you're going to hear it some more, because that's the message, only Jesus saves. Last week we looked at the parable of the prodigal son and focused on the father because it was fathers today. Today I want to look at the same parable, but I want to focus on the elder son. We don't talk a lot about him. We're going to talk about him today. So Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 25. "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." What I want you to notice about the elder son is that he missed the message. Because he missed the message, he did not repent. Look at verse 29 again. "He answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment." The elder son thought that his years of service to the father had made him righteous. He thought his work had made him righteous. After all, it was the other son who left. He stayed home. It was the other son who wasted his substance in riotous living, the Bible told us, in sin. He stayed home and he served the father. He worked with the father. As far as society was concerned, he was a good moral man. He was the good son. Honestly, as far as he was concerned, he was a good moral man. He was the good son. And he thought that his service and his work had made him righteous. He missed the message. Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is there's a very common misconception in religion that works make us right with God. That works cause us to have the favor of God, I guess would be the way we would say it. People will tell you, they've told me, and I'm sure they've told you too, that they're a Christian. Everybody's a Christian. Have you noticed that? Everybody is a Christian. I got to where I quit asking people if they're Christians because everybody is one. They think they're Christians because they come to church. At least part of the time, they come. Well, you know, I go to church on Easter and Christmas. I'm a Christian. Some people think they're Christians because they pay tithes or they give money to the church. Some people think they're Christians because their parents are Christians. You know, well, I was born. Some people think they're Christians because they live in the United States of America. Man, I'm an American citizen. I'm Christian. They think they're Christians because they're involved with the less fortunate. They're socially active. They think they're Christian because they're rich or they're famous or they're powerful. They think surely God will look at their lifetime of work, whatever it is, and that will make them righteous. That will make them Christian. They miss the message. Ephesians chapter 2. I want to tell you the truth. One of my greatest, I hate to say fears because that's not the right word, but I can't say worry either. One of my greatest concerns is that somebody could come to this church for the last 20 years and not know how to be saved. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Only Jesus saves. Amen. The elder son thought that he had never sinned. This is one of the most interesting things about him. Again, look at verse 29. He said, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. I have never sinned at any time. There are people today who believe they don't need to repent because they've never committed sin. Maybe they think the Bible's just a suggestion, you know, it's a good idea if you live your life by the Bible, but it's not a requirement. You don't have to obey the Word of God. Maybe they think that their situation or their circumstances sort of changed the truths of the Bible, or maybe think that the Bible's not really necessarily true. It's sort of in flux like everything else. And maybe they think it's not really relevant for our day and time that we live in. God doesn't understand the day and time that we live in. How foolish is that to think that God doesn't understand anything? But they think, some people think, well, you know, because of all these things, I really haven't sinned. I mean, I'm a good person. As far as society is concerned, I'm a really good person. I don't lie and I don't cheat and I don't steal. And, you know, I work a job 40 hours a week and I'm just a good guy. I'm a good moral person, so I've never really sinned. I mean, really, who is to say what is right and what is wrong, and who's to say there really is such a thing as sin? Well, I'll tell you who's to say. God is to say. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But some people missed the message. The son who stayed home, the elder son, he'd heard the message from his father over and over and over. He'd lived with his father and heard the message, seen the message lived out in the father, but he missed it. Now, maybe he chose just to ignore it. Maybe he chose just to turn a deaf ear to it. But either way you want to look at it, he missed the message. And there's lots of folks today who've heard the message many, many times. They hear it in the churches. They hear it from fellow Christians or other Christians. They hear it in Sunday school. They hear it over the radio or the television or in music. They hear, but they just choose to either ignore it or not believe it. They just miss the message. At least part of the message has already been presented this morning. Did you hear it? Do you believe it? Because he missed the message, he also did not receive. In verse 29, the son said to the father, "Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." Now, does that sound like a pouting child or what? He was angry. He was pouting because the father had never thrown a party for him and his buddies. I want to go back to the beginning of this parable, and I don't want us to miss this because as Christians in particular, this is very important. Look at verses 11 and 12, Luke chapter 15. He said, this is Jesus telling the parable, and he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.'" Now pay close attention. "And he divided unto them his living." The father gave the prodigal son his inheritance. But the father also gave the elder son his inheritance. He divided unto them his living. As a matter of fact, according to the tradition of the time, the elder son actually received two-thirds of the inheritance. The younger son got one-third. The father said, "All that I have is yours." But he didn't receive it because he missed the message. He didn't believe the message. He stayed home. He had the stuff right there at his fingertips, I guess we would say. But he never received it. Because he never received the gift that the father had, he had no relationship with the father. As I wrote this out and I was thinking about this week, I thought, that sounds crazy. That sounds impossible. He lived in the father's house. He worked for the father. He worked with his father, but he had no relationship with his father. He had not received his gift. He did not share his values. He did not share his love for the lost prodigal. He did not share his joy when the prodigal came home. He didn't accept the gift that the father offered. He had no idea who his father was. He had no relationship with his father because he missed the message. Salvation is a free gift to everyone. Forgiveness of sin is a free gift to everyone. Redemption from the penalty for sin, it was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's a free gift for everyone. But salvation and forgiveness and redemption are not ours until we receive them. I've told you this story before about a friend of mine. When I was in high school, I started to say college. I can't remember back in high school, but when I was in high school, they would open their Christmas presents. They'd unwrap them, see what they were, then they'd put them back under the tree. And they'd leave them there until Epiphany, which is what, January 6th or 7th, something like that. And I went over to his house one time during Christmas break, and I walked in. It was after Christmas, and I walked in, and there were all the Christmas presents unwrapped under the tree, but just sitting there under the tree. It's like they knew what they were, but they hadn't received them. Clothes they didn't wear. Electronic gadgets that they didn't use. There were the gifts, they belonged to them, but they got no benefit from them because even though they knew what they were, they really didn't receive them. They just put them back under the tree. They had no relationship with their gifts. When we don't receive what the Father offers, we have no relationship with the Father. In order to be saved, we have to receive the gift of salvation that God offers. We have to confess our sins and ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. And we have to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, and then you will have a personal relationship with God Almighty and Jesus Christ his Son. I mean, how good is that really? To have a personal relationship with God. talk to him, listen to him, visit with him, spend time with him, enjoy his presence, endure his scolding when we mess up. But he's our Father, and we have a relationship with him. But now, Christian, I want you to listen because there's more. I mentioned this earlier, but I want you to listen closely to what the Father said. As a matter of fact, if your Bible is still open and you mark in your Bibles, I'd like for you to mark verse 31. The Father said to this, after the elder son complained about never having a party, this is what the Father said. He said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. If you are a Christian, first of all, you are always in the presence of God. Because God indwells the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost indwells the believer. So everywhere we are in the presence of God. What a wonderful gift that is. All that God has is ours. And then in addition to that, all of the blessings that God offers, all of the promises of His Scripture, they all belong to us as Christians. As Christians, we live far below our means. Isn't that odd? Financially, we stretch it right to the limit and sometimes we go over, right? But spiritually, we live way below our means. Now, I'm not talking about a name it and claim it doctrine. You know, I don't believe that. But all of the promises of Scripture, all of the blessings that God offers, they all belong to us. The Father said, all that I have is yours. Amen. God's power to resist sin and live an obedient, victorious life is ours. Now, we say, when something happens, when we're called upon to do some sort of a service, or when we are reading through the Bible and it tells us we needed to witness to somebody or whatever it might be, well, I can't. See, we're living below our means. Because God said, all the power I've got is yours. God is almighty. God is omnipotent. God can do anything. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. That is in us. All that He has is ours. We have the provision of God. All of God's provision is ours to meet all of our needs. Now, He didn't promise. I can't find anything in Scripture where God promised to make us rich. I can't find anything in Scripture where God promised to make us comfortable. But He said, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All that God has is ours to meet our needs. God's peace is ours. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. God's joy is ours. God's protection is ours. So we don't need to live in fear. We don't need to live in stress. We don't need to live in worry. We can live joyfully, triumphantly, because all that the Father has is ours. I like that. I like being a Christian. I like living for the Lord. I like having all that stuff. I'm just going to be honest with you. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know what? I said earlier that the prodigal son, or the elder son, kind of ignored the message, or maybe he chose just not to believe it. I'm going to tell you the truth. I think sometimes as Christian, we choose to live with our heads hanging down and our mouth in a frown and just dragging along and barely getting by. We must choose it. Because Jesus said, I came that they might have life more abundantly. All that the Father has belongs to us. So, Christian, are you living a victorious, abundant life? You can. All the Father has, everything that God has, every promise of the Scripture, it's yours. I want you to see that because he missed the message, because the elder son missed the message, he did not rejoice. When the prodigal son came home, you know the story. He left and he wasted all of his his living and wound up in the pigsty. And then he came home, he repented, and he came home to the Father, and the Father received him and put, what was it, the robe and the ring and the shoes. And then they had a big celebration. He killed the fatted calf, and they had a big party, singing and dancing, the Bible says. I mean, they had a big time. Well, all this took place while the elder son was out in the field working. He had everything the father owned. He had all the joy he could receive, but he wouldn't take it. He was out there working, trying to earn it. When he came home, he heard the sound of the party. The Bible says he heard the sound of the laughter and the singing. He heard the sound of the singing and the dancing. And so he asked one of the servants what was going on. I always thought it was curious that he talked to one of the servants and not to the father, but he had no relationship with the father. And this is what the servant said, verses 27 and 28. He said unto him, "Thy brother is come." You know why he said, "Thy brother is come"? Because he thought, the servant thought, the elder son would be happy because his brother had come home. "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in." I want you to pay very close attention to those words, "would not go in." He could have, but he would not. He could have celebrated. He could have rejoiced. He could have enjoyed the food. He could have enjoyed the music, but he would not. And then the father came out. The rest of verse 28 says, "Therefore came his father out, left the party, and entreated him." And to entreat means to beg. So the father left the party and came outside and begged the elder son to come in. Is that not a picture of Jesus leaving heaven? Coming to earth among man and entreating us to join the celebration. But the elder son would not. He could have. The father gave him the message, but he would not understand it. He would not receive it. He would not hear it. His father offered him his inheritance, but he would not receive it. And because he would not repent, and because he would not receive, he did not rejoice. He stayed outside. I've often thought about the elder son and that particular moment. How sad it must have been for him to hear the laughter, to hear the singing, to hear the music, to hear the sounds of the celebration, and to not participate. He could have, but he wouldn't. Reminds me of the story of the rich man and Lazarus. You remember that story? The Bible says that the rich man could see into heaven. He could see the celebration, but he could not go in. It was too late for him. I want you to listen closely. Here's the message. God the Father sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to earth. Jesus Christ left heaven and He came to earth. And He lived a perfect and sinless life for 33 years on this earth. For three of those 33 years, He ministered to people. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He caused the blind to see, the lame to walk. He cast out demons. He raised the dead back to life. At the end of those 3 years of ministry and 33 years of life, He freely offered His life as a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. He died. He shed His blood to forgive us, to purchase forgiveness, to purchase salvation for us. 3 days after He died, He rose from the grave and He ascended into heaven. And there He is today awaiting His return. And now God the Father, through Jesus Christ the Son, offers every person the free gift purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ of salvation. And those who will confess their sins and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior will be awarded the celebration in heaven. We live a wonderful life right now on this earth and enjoy all of the abundance that God gives us and the future hope, the real hope of heaven. Amen. Those who reject Him, Those who hear the message and choose to not believe it will be condemned to burn in the eternal fires of hell. That's the message.